Welcome to Cannes Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
My name is Sebastian.
Hello, Sebastian. How have you been doing?
I have a migraine.
You have a migraine?
I often have a migraine, though.
This is true. Yeah, that's not good for you.
Well, you know, I'm chugging along, drinking tea.
You're out of tea, though.
I'm out of tea. Well, that's okay. I'll top up at the next break. Also, actually, I've had a very busy week. Because I have a new job.
You do have a new job.
I have a new job. Doing a 9-to-5 while at home, which is weird. Onboarding.
Did you know that Canada added 250,000 jobs in August? That's 250,000 jobs came back into the market.
I mean, I can believe that.
Or got taken up in the market, I should say.
Yeah.
So that's pretty impressive.
The place that I work does shipping logistics.
Oh.
And it turns out that every single day for the past 6 months has been like Black Friday times three. Just the amount of shipping that's been going on. So if you bought stock in anything to do with like Shopify or anything to do with shipping or anything to do with online sales, then your stock is probably quadrupled.
Oh, Zoom. Yeah. And we're not stockbrokers. Don't listen to us for stock advice.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty safe bet to bet on something like this. But it is still a wager, and you could still lose everything.
You could lose your wife, your
kids. Same thing in general with gambling. Do not gamble with money that you cannot stand to lose. If you take $100 to the casino, consider that to be the fee of entertainment.
That's what I do. I go in, and I'm like, I am prepared mentally
to lose everything.
Walk away without this $100.
Yep.
Which I very often do, let's be honest. Although I'm kind of missing, we haven't gone to a casino, but let's rein it in.
I'm not a casino guy. If we did go to the casino, you know what it would be for?
Slot machines?
For the buffet.
For the buffet.
They have the best buffet. I hate buffet. I hate waiting in line with a plate behind somebody who's moving slowly. I hate that. But the casino buffet is just...
Yeah.
It is primo. It is the good stuff.
But not anymore.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Sad face. Things that we miss.
But they still have the super cheap breakfast at the horse races that are very good. And I don't like horse races either, but let me tell you about their brunch.
Let me tell you about the buffet. Clearly we know things about buffets. When we visit your town, let us know what's the best buffet in town. We would be happy to oblige. Now, Dr. Tam...
Okay.
The chief medical officer for the federal government.
I think she's slowly becoming internet infamous.
Yeah. She caused a bit of a stir this week. People were raised eyebrows.
Uh-huh.
I believe she was asked a question about how to have intimate relations.
Yes.
In a safer way.
Yes.
So that's about the gist of it. There was, she issued a statement saying there's little chance of catching COVID-19 from bodily fluids from the nether regions.
Mm-hmm.
You can deduce what that is.
It's a non-zero chance, but it's very low.
Extremely low.
Yeah.
I mean, statistically, maybe.
Yeah.
In practice, not so much. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, so essentially what she said here, and this is, I'm quoting Reuters here, like other activities during COVID-19 that involve physical closeness, there are some things you can do to minimize the risk of getting infected and spreading the virus. So, avoid kissing, making out, face-to-face contact.
That's the point.
And wear a mask. So you don't get your moist droplets on your intimate partner.
This is a golden age for puppy play, it just occurred to me.
Yeah.
Because you can wear a mask under the mask. Yeah.
You say that, but Queerty ran this same article with a puppy play picture. a lot of people talking about it. But I think that she's a bit late to the game here, because we've been talking about the medical advice of, it was the BC Health Authority and the New York Health Authority both said that you should explore physical barriers, such as a wall, where there could be a glorious opportunity to be intimate without risking infection.
You can bottle up your emotions.
Absolutely.
That was because in bottle making, if you're a glass blower, you make it in a glory hole.
This is, yeah, okay, I'm glad
That was a very deep cut, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know if that's going to recover from it. Well, yes, I mean, this was interesting advice, but at the same time, it's not anything we didn't know before. Yeah. Anyone who is looking at being intimate, please be careful, not just about your health, obviously be careful about your health, but also let folks know where you're going, you know, how long you expect to be somewhere. You know, being careful with each other is important. I also think
people might be taking testing a little bit more seriously. So like how some couples, before they start having sex with maybe not no protection, but being slapdash about protection, they may get a full assay done on STDs to make sure that they don't have something they don't know about. And people might be doing this as well. You go on a few dates with a guy, you kind of like him. You go get the 7-inch spike rammed up your nose to see if you've got the virus or not. And then you wait for the answer to come back before you start doing open mouth kissing.
And it's important to note that your COVID test is only really good for the day that you got said COVID test.
Well, yes. Yeah.
So if you took the test self-isolated and then, absolutely. We just don't want to give that sort of false sense of security.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Now, actually, weirdly enough, in the UK, rates of HIV have dropped as a result of the lockdown and better education around it. Although, weirdly, chlamydia has been rising.
Okay.
Who knew? Yeah, no, people aren't checking for the more traditional, the more typical infectious, diseases and so on.
Chlamydia is not one of the properly horrible ones.
I mean, I wouldn't choose to have it.
No. It's a little bit of a drippiness that you wouldn't want in your life.
I mean, I don't know if a little bit is what we're going for here.
I'm trying to be euphemistic here.
Yeah.
Syphilis. We had an outbreak of syphilis a few years ago.
No, super gonorrhea. I remember it. Super gonorrhea.
Oh, no, specifically here in Ottawa.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But this was around the same time as the Ashley Madison scandal, though. So
this is true. Yeah.
I think it was unrelated. It was just timed poorly.
Now, speaking of Ottawa, they got into the news for their Pride parade, although it was a very unofficial, unsanctioned parade, this particular one. And that is because the Canadian Navy decided that they were going to take a couple of their boats for a spin down the Rideau Canal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those who aren't necessarily familiar, I'm trying to find the thing. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, so the Navy has obviously a section here in the city's capital, or in the country's capital in Ottawa. The Royal Canadian Navy is near Dow's Lake, which is where HMCS Carlton, which is one of the ships, is based. So what they decided to do is they took a whole bunch of like dinghies and small boats and tugboats, and they toodled along the canal, which was quite nice. There was lots of flags.
Yeah.
It was, I've been to Amsterdam
during
the Amsterdam parade, which is literally just a flotilla of ships. You almost expect them to rescue men from Normandy. There are so many of these ships.
So they have a pride parade that does not interfere with traffic.
Well, they interferes with boat traffic, which in Amsterdam is a thing.
Okay.
But, you know, their canal, their pride parade is in the canal.
Okay.
Which is amazing, except that the
most pathways... Most people bike or take the streetcar anyway.
The pathways around the canal are like all of like 1.5 foot wide. Yeah, so it does get a bit squishy.
Yeah, I can see that.
But they have it along the canal, which I think is really cool.
The canal is such an important feature of Ottawa as well. It's part of the history, part of the landscape. The fact that there's like what 4 bridges across the canal in the entire city, not including that new footbridge. So anytime you go from anywhere in the city to anywhere else in the city, you have to go through one of the bottlenecks over the canal. Yeah. So it is definitely a defining feature of the city. And the fact that we've underused it, I think, is very peculiar.
Well, I think that HMCS Carlton, they've kind of maybe given an indication of how Pride Ottawa can maybe reinvent itself a little bit into the new year, because nothing quite promotes social distancing than 3 feet of water underneath you and 2 meters of it around you.
Mm-hmm.
Like floating on a dinghy does promote social distancing.
And we've also talked before about the importance of prides trying to come up with their own unique flavor and not just trying to be a scaled up or scaled down version of Montreal or Toronto or New York.
It's all about having the reflection of your local self.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I really hope that they will take that on board, and maybe we can see some more flotillas down the parade or of the parade on the canal. I think it'd be really cool.
Yeah.
I think it'd be pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, before we jump into our interview today, we're interviewing Morganger from Vancouver, who will be responding to the, I'm going to call it a kerfuffle. We'll go into more details later, with the Toronto-based anti-gay hate preacher that was seen in the Vancouver area.
Yeah.
But first, let's touch base on the Hamilton Police. Now, we've talked about these folks on many of occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually there was that scathing report that did not look good on them at all.
Yeah, yeah. The number one thing about it is that there does seem to be, and this is a common problem among most police forces, is that your average patrol officer off the street, if you were to ask them, do you need to do better? Do things need to be fixed? Do things need to be improved? Most of them will say yes. They may not agree with your plan on how to improve things, but they'll agree that something needs to be done. And there actually is some evidence here that there are a lot of people within the Hamilton Police Force who are very interested in fixing these problems. But then the buck stops somewhere, and whoever's in charge, it ultimately comes down to whether or not they are a team player or not. And that seems to be where this story picks up.
Well, there was 38 recommendations mm-hmm. at the back of the report. We talked about some of them. A lot of them made a lot of sense.
Some of them you could do in an hour.
Well, they did some of them in an hour.
Yeah.
So they have apparently done, I think, four of them.
Okay.
Six. They've completed six of the recommendations. Six out of 38. Pretty good start.
Yeah.
Which included one of them was an apology. The chief apologized for the incident at the parade, the slow response, and then also, in fact, apologized for his rhetoric on the radio immediately after.
Okay.
Because we and amongst others were quite critical of how he immediately blamed, queer anarchists and not the actual hate preachers that came in It was bad days.
I mean, we criticized them as well, but it was within the context of they overreacted to a situation that should not have happened in the first place.
It was a comedy of errors.
Yeah.
Well, they have started 34 of 38. Okay. And I think some of them may include the ones that they've now completed.
Okay.
But they've started them. They've, for example, they've designated a staff sergeant. No, not a staff sergeant.
Probably just a sergeant.
Yeah, Detective Constable Rebecca Moran is now the LGBT liaison officer.
They got a DC involved.
However, there is no time allocated to Detective Constable Rebecca Moran, who is a full-time investigator with the Hamilton Police Service. So, in title, they now have a liaison officer.
Yeah.
But that said liaison officer has had no time allocated. It's just spare time that can be allocated. Some of the reactions, the CBC interviewed some folks there, and some of the reaction is, you know, this is encouraging.
Yeah.
But unless there's deep-rooted change, which is what the report really talks about, changing the attitude, changing the culture, until that happens, the LGBT folks of Hamilton, they're holding their breath, which I would not advise. It would take a long time and you'd pass out. But it's all up there. They're hedging their bets on what will happen next. What do you think?
I am fundamentally an optimistic person because the grand arc of history is just things gradually improving anyway.
Mm.
Whether or not it's going to improve within the next 4 months, I'm actually skeptical of that because a lot of the recommendations that they have are fundamental changes in the culture of how the Hamilton Police Service works. So this could be, some of it is stuff that even if everybody was on board would take 2 to 6 years. And some of it is big issues that may take an entire, I don't want to say generation, but like an entire cohort of hires.
Yeah, yeah.
So like 10, 15 years to remedy. And a lot of it you got to be there for the long haul. You know, you got to have people involved who are interested in building stuff. And it looks, I mean, in general, like having lived in Hamilton, people there are generally more interested in developing new things than they are in tearing old things down. So I could see a long-term success that in the short term looks like nothing much is happening. But unfortunately, that's progress looks like nothing much is happening in the present. It catches up to you all of a sudden. So, I mean, I don't know. I think I'm more optimistic than not, but I also acknowledge that even if things are going very well, it's going to look like nothing for a while.
Yeah, exactly. And I do want to... We will mention kind of how the LGBT community has perceived Hamilton. Because I think that there's a very strong connection to the story in Vancouver. And we'll get to that in just a few minutes. Before we do, this is Coffee Cup by Palice. And we will be back just after this. When you wake up. Queer Media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I am Sebastian.
And we are thrilled to be joined today by Morgana Gere. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us about what's been going on in your own city.
It's an honor and a privilege to be chatting with you again. So thank you so much for having me on.
Excellent. Now, Vancouver has been in the national press, not for great reasons, recently. We spoke about it last week when there was a hate preacher who broke a man's leg in a few places. You know, were you aware of that incident that went on?
So I think the background story is important. There has been a rash of people who have been coming to the West End of Vancouver, which is, of course, the gayborhood, right? This is where the most visible presence of the LGBTQ2+ community is centered. This is where community is. This is where Little Sisters is. Strangely enough, it's not actually where most queers live, as we know, queers live everywhere, right? And so these people have been coming to the neighborhood and basically preaching hatred. And, you know, I have witnessed it. So Dore Love is one of them. And Dore Love was, you know, with a crew coming in and doing that kind of Baptist, born again, kind of, you know, fire and brimstone kind of preaching, you know, interleaved in with the God, the religious message is a message basically demonizing, pathologizing, and vilifying people because of their sexual orientation or gender identity. Basically, anyone that he perceived to be not heterosexual, he expressed was afflicted by demonic forces. That kind of a conversation. We've seen this before. This is the plague of society these days when it comes to oppressive behavior towards the LGBTQ2+ community. And he was doing it repeatedly. I actually happened to live fairly close to the corner where he was preaching his message. And I was hearing it, let's say, monthly-ish or something like this. And each time there was a problem. It was a mess. And each time the police was there, and each time the police did nothing. I saw them having a little bit of a talk with them, a tiny bit of something along the lines of, well, you make sure it's not too loud. And you make sure you don't tell people to kill people, that kind of stuff. That's about the limits of what they do. And I heard with my own ears the police saying, you have the right to be here and you have the right to be doing this here. This was a police officer telling this to Dore Love that I observed. And then one day, a person who was perceived to be gay, I guess, by Dore Love, came in and he turned down the volume. He tried to turn down the volume on the amplifier. Now, something to know is in Vancouver, it's illegal to amplify voice. It's actually a violation of Section 6555 of our bylaws, which says that you can't cause a nuisance, you can't be too loud, you can't use music, and you are specifically prohibited from amplifying voice.
It reminds me of in Hamilton with the huge evangelist preachers there and the whole kickoff that happened at the Pride a couple of years ago. You know, the lawyer that investigated that incident specifically mentioned that the police showed up and never took the amplifier off them when they did not have a permit for said amplifier. And that's what boggles my mind, is that very often, you know, Vancouver Police Department and other police departments in Hamilton and in other cities seem to forget about, you know, municipal bylaws. They seem to opt out of enforcing them when it comes to hate preachers.
Okay, now British Columbia is a little bit different than the rest of Canada, because in British Columbia, I won a human rights tribunal case against this guy called Bill Watcott in a precedent-setting case called OJ v. Watcott, BCHRT for BC Human Rights Tribunal 2019. And in the ruling of that, the Human Rights Tribunal clearly expressed that it, and supported the interpretation of the Charter of Rights, which said that a person's right to express or live out their religion or a person's right to free expression does not supersede a person's right to live free of discrimination. And the reason why Bill Watcott was found guilty of prohibited discrimination was because he advertised an intention to discriminate on explicitly prohibited grounds, and he encouraged others to do the same. And there's already a human right, there's already a Supreme Court ruling that says that demonizing, vilifying, or pathologizing someone because of who they are, because they're in a visible group, is incitement of hatred. So we've already covered incitement of hatred by definition. And so police, you know, in Vancouver, they could have leveraged municipal bylaws on just noise alone. They could have gone after harmful behavior to community, so disruptive behavior to community. And they have a Supreme Court ruling precedent that they could have applied Section 319 of the Criminal Code, saying that these gentlemen were inciting hatred likely to cause a disturbance and likely to cause harm to the people that they're inciting hatred against.
But I want to move into talking about David Lynch. And just for our audience's sake, he is a Toronto-based preacher, evangelist preacher, who was arrested for breaching the peace at Toronto Pride a couple of years ago, and now has gone on a cross-Canada tour. You know, he's in BC, he's in Alberta and Saskatchewan. But my understanding is that on this past Sunday, he was supposed to be preaching in Vancouver, and he ended up being flanked by 30, 40 police officers protecting him in a little bubble as the LGBT community gathered for a disco party to drown him out.
And he decided suddenly that he needed to go out there, out to Vancouver, in the same neighborhood where Dory Gould and his friend assaulted someone and are facing major criminal charges for it. And he decided to come in and hold a baptism in the neighborhood where, you know, that is associated with the queers. So on Monday, he went from Vancouver to Victoria to do the same thing in Victoria. And this is what Dory Love and David Lynn are doing. They are inciting hatred, and they're doing it by playing victim when there's a rally that says, we don't want what you're doing here. And it seems that the Vancouver police and the Crown prosecutors in BC, they are squeamish about enforcing the law when it comes to protecting queers.
I think what was really interesting is the Vancouver Police Department said that they were there protecting the peace. You know, they were there to ensure that the protesters against this anti-gay preacher didn't breach the peace. But the visual that was evident was this hateful man with an amplifier being protected by 30, 40 cops. Mm-hmm. Now, that has actually led to what we see, not just in Vancouver, but across the country. It causes the LGBT community to lose faith that the police are there to protect them. There is a protest plan for the Vancouver Police Department ahead of time of recording. And there's also this group called the Pink Pumas.
There's a vigilante group that's popped up, the Pink Pumas, that's basically patrolling the neighborhood. So there's a protest against the police at Jim Diva Plaza. And you know, when I'm walking in the street as an average trans woman that transitioned late, and I run across a police officer who I don't know, it's like Schrodinger's, you know, police abuser, right? I don't know in my heart of hearts that that person is going to look after me equally if something pops up. And that perception is a problem. Police are not doing a good job of protecting people and protecting law and order. They have the bylaws. The bylaws could have been enforced. That guy could have been made to go somewhere else.
I want to jump in here because it seems to me, you know, the Vancouver Police Department has an LGBT liaison. We reached out to him. He was on vacation, actually, when this happened. The Vancouver Police Department's media department has not responded to our request for information regarding the impact of this. But it really does beg the question, you know, why the Vancouver Police Department are choosing not to prosecute this.
I believe that the issue is not necessarily just bias of the people on the ground. Like what the beliefs are of the people doing the work and whether their core beliefs affects their doing their job. We like to think that that's not the case, but sometimes I worry that the patterns are telling me otherwise. We need to pressure our governments to do better when it comes to dealing with inciting of the hatred, because we know where this goes. Dory Love and David Lynn's behavior and their stuff is being recorded. Find themselves in a situation like this on purpose to be a provocateur, right? It wasn't necessary. He needed a permit to do this. He didn't have a permit. He wasn't allowed to use amplification. He used amplification. All of those things. And our law enforcement, our city need to be more proactive and to say simply, there will be no hate propaganda in our city limits.
It's worth noting that the Vancouver Mayor Kennedy Stewart has started exploring ideas such as creating bubble zones where these hate preachers aren't allowed, except apparently these hate preachers keep marauding. So yeah, the mayor of Vancouver has indicated that he's looking at innovative ways to address this. But it is so strange that the mayor of the city is saying there needs to be a bigger stick against this issue. But the Vancouver Police Department seem to be there as the almost personal security for these preachers.
It's their responsibility to stop someone from being harmed, but it's also their responsibility to evaluate when the disturbing of the peace is going overboard, and it's their responsibility and the city's responsibility to make sure that everyone in our city is safe from the consequences of the actions of this person. You incite hatred against people not like you because of who they are, you are not welcome in this place. And that's all there is to it. But hiding behind that excuse that we're hearing all the time, oh, this is not a criminal act, right? We have some serious problem in Canada about how we need better training for our police, and we need clear expectations to be set out about what's going to happen. Nobody gets to incite hatred against others in Canada that's going to cause harm. I think that's like a basic requirement.
Absolutely. Well, we have run out of time for the interview. We're going to be jumping into reamaze therapy. Thank you so much, Morgan, for taking the time to chat with us about what happened there in Vancouver. It is very much appreciated. Yeah, absolutely. I think we'll see what happens next as the story develops. I believe he's still got Alberta and Saskatchewan on his Canadian tour. But thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much. I hope that we one day don't have to talk about
it. I'm finished. I didn't want to feel this much. I'm livid. I didn't want to fall in love. Probably give up every second and I leave my friends alone. Cancel all my plans and just be waiting by the phone. I hate it when she looks at me. Hate it when she leaves. Cause I know I need 10 years of therapy to try to get your feel out for me. I can't move and I can't sleep. Yeah, I know what that means. 10 years of therapy to try to get your feel out for me. I fell hard and I fell deep. Yeah, I know what that means. I feel you. I didn't want to tell my man my whole future. It's sitting right inside his hands. Probably throw a couple tantrums cause I feel out of control. Inevitably, jealousy will take its toll. Nervous when he looks at me, nervous when he leaves. Cause I know I need 10 years of therapy to try to get you feel off of me. Can't move and I can't sleep. Yeah, I know what that means. 10 years of therapy to try to get you feel up for me. I fell hard and I fell deep. Yeah, I know what that means. Yeah, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know. I'm falling, 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 falling for all. Yeah, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know. I'm falling, 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 falling for him more. Yeah, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know. I'm falling, 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 falling for him. Yeah, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know. I'm falling, falling, falling. And I would need 10 years of therapy to try to get you feel off of me. I can't move and I can't sleep. Yeah, I know that. Tried to get your feel off of me. I fell hard and I fell deep. Yeah, I know what that means.
Hello and welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's Queer Me. That was a new track, Queer Media. That was a new track by Ria May. It's one of those days. Yeah. That was Therapy by Ria May. Fantastic new track. And QueerCon. Like, it was great. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
It's about the lesbians.
All right.
Yeah, it was good. Now, we have some more somewhat depressing news, actually. There have been a spate of attacks. We spoke a couple of weeks ago, last week, about the alleged hate crime incidents that took place in Calgary. Mm. But it seems like Calgary isn't the only one kind of hitting that profile. Let's talk about Moose Jaw in Saskatchewan. There was two youth, two young folks have been charged with an alleged assault. One has been charged with assault with a weapon and assault, and the second youth has been charged with assault. Now, what happened in Moose Jaw is that there is a young trans teen. Apparently, the video has gone viral, although advocates have been pleading with the public to not share and disseminate this video of this young girl who has been attacked.
Mm-hmm.
This young individual was surrounded by a group of young people, was bullied, wasn't allowed to leave, was told to sit down. Her clothing was ripped, her headpiece attacked. According to what the young girl has said about it and what you can tell from the video, we haven't personally seen the video.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't able to find it because a lot of media have actually pulled the video. But transcripts indicate that it was definitely related to this young trans teen's gender identity, which is why the attack took place.
I mean, I'm okay with not watching it.
Yeah, no, I can survive. We actually took a look at the video for the Manchester alleged transphobic attack. Now, it starts off with someone hurling transphobic insults to a trans person and then getting all up in their grill. Mm. But also, I was getting very much a drunken evening vibe.
Yeah,
what one would call chavs.
Yeah. And you know, get away from you. Expletive.
Yeah.
And they turned out to actually be that expletive. And
It's hard to say if it was hate motivated or they were just hateful.
And
drunk.
That's just a word you use when you're angry.
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately, I mean, that's...
But that does not seem to be the case in Moose Jaw. It does seem to be much more targeted, this attack in Moose Jaw in rural Saskatchewan. But I have even more bad news.
Okay.
Because it doesn't stop at Moose Jaw.
Are we going to talk about Aurelia?
We're going to talk about Aurelia. So, three men have been charged with assault after a man who is holding hands with another man, this is according to Simcoe.com,
mm-hmm.
Were walking along the waterfront when the three men drove by in a vehicle, hurled homophobic insults at them.
Mm-hmm.
They then turned around and came back. Yet again, people burning calories to be dicks. Why are you exerting effort to, you know, burning gasoline just to come back? They turned around a second time, shook up a beer can and sprayed it all over this gay couple. Now imagine there was just a straight couple. Our listening audience, you know straight couples, your, you know, siblings, your friends.
I think just I've met one or
insert
two.
Generic straight couple tootling along the waterfront, holding hands, enjoying the sunset. Would somebody be compelled? And there is a compelling here, because they drove around specifically for this purpose to then spray a beer all over them. Like, it's just, why? Why are you going to do that, bro?
I mean, clearly they were not employed full time, that they had the hours to waste on this.
Well, they may have been, and we don't know their employment status, but they clearly
But
were
I mean,
dicks.
Your earlier comment about, like, didn't they have better things to do? I mean,
evidently not.
That stands.
No. Now, they turned around a third time to have a go at this gay couple.
Well, it's because on the second time they were like, what are you doing? Like, get away from us.
So the third time the car drives up, one of the gay men who have been assaulted tries to stop the car and demand to know why this vehicle for the three men have been harassing him and his partner. The car then sped off with the individual holding onto the car or you know, in some way. And I think it went for like 80 feet or something, which isn't a huge amount in a car. But when you're being dragged along, that's significant.
Going,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I read a couple articles and it was ambiguous as to whether or not they were holding on to him or like there's that scene in the start of the Goonies where they grab the guy's hand when he's on the bike and they drive down the hill. It could have been something like that. They could have grabbed onto him. He could have grabbed onto them. It seemed really ambiguous. They weren't being very clear about
what it seems like the police have said that the driver drove off aggressively, allegedly dragging the victim along the road. So the victim must have been holding on to something, you know, to have been dragged. They didn't get very far. The Aurelia, the OPP detachment in Aurelia, found them, caught them, arrested them.
Yeah.
None of the allegations have been proven in court, but they have been arrested for 3 counts of assault.
Okay.
Now, this is very concerning. It is very worrying. You know, we had that conversation earlier about the hate preachers moving from Victoria through to the Western provinces, you know, Alberta, Saskatchewan, BC. And, you know, we're seeing not one, not two, but cases all over the country of people who have sort of stepped up from defacing pride sidewalks into actually attacking LGBT folks in Canada. Like, it boggles my mind that, insert current year, that this is still happening.
I know a lot of it, this might be the cheap answer, but a lot of people are very frustrated by the lockdown. There's not that much to do. I think these three special gentlemen would normally just be at a sports bar or watching a sports ball game.
I mean, it's a bit presumptuous.
I don't know. But they're
lumping sports fans into...
But they wouldn't be driving around looking for stuff to do.
Yeah.
You know?
It makes me think of, in the 90s and the 80s, there was this thing called rolling a queer.
Oh, yes.
Where, you know, people would just drive around looking for trouble.
Yeah.
Looking in around the gay area, around public parks where men were known to have intimate liaisons. And would find somebody that they think is gay, beat them up.
Didn't even have to be gay. They just had to be gay enough.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the late 80s, early 90s, it led to a number of deaths, including the death of Alain Brosseau in Ottawa. But it very much reminds me of that there seems to be almost an impunity going on here. Luckily, in Moose Jaw, there was other youth in the area recording it, what went on, and I think that's led to the quick arrests. Mm-hmm. But in small rural areas, you know, there isn't always somebody there
to witness.
Yeah. You know, I don't know how many people typically toodle along the waterfront in Aurelia, you know, at sundown. But
is Aurelia on the water? Yes, it is. Of course it is. It's on Lake Simcoe.
Yeah.
No, it's Moose Jaw. No, they have a river. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
But the Moose Jaw folks went on the water.
Is there any city in Canada that does not have a waterfront?
There must be.
We're mostly water, though. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah, the most important thing to me is the fact that this is news. Whereas back in the 80s and 90s, it wouldn't even have been reported. Yeah. So the fact that it got reported, the fact that they're taking it seriously, the fact that the police showed up on the scene, I'm pretty optimistic about that. As for whether it's a spike in cases or a spike in reporting, because for the longest time, people wouldn't even report. So it's kind of hard to say. I mean,
is there a confidence in LGBT people now where we feel safe reporting?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is that something that's happening? And maybe, you know, that's conversations happening in each individual town. Think of Hamilton, for example.
Yeah.
Like, you know, now that these report recommendations are being worked on, would folks in Hamilton have the confidence to report, you know, hate incidents?
Yeah. Or even if people don't have the confidence in their local police or the provincial police or the RCMP, depending on their community, do they have enough faith in the local media outlets to cover the lack of coverage of what happened to them? And I think a lot of people are a lot more comfortable with that, partly because of social media and the number of people who have a camera in their pocket, and partly because media outlets actually do report on that kind of thing, somebody being assaulted and the police doing nothing.
If it bleeds, it leads. Yeah. But, you know, saying that, we have picked up on, you know, the Calgary, the Aurelia, the Moose Jaw, and so on. And often we're finding these stories on the very local CBC coverage, but it never really gets much further than that. You know, this is a worrying trend in rural Canada.
So partly it's because we are a special interest show. So your average news station out in Vancouver is not necessarily going to report on one individual being attacked in Halifax, unless there was something particularly grim about it, particularly public, particularly political. For us, it's interesting to report of each case across the country, but otherwise, like, if so long as they do get reported in the local media, in Moose Jaw, mm-hmm. in Aurelia, in wherever anything is happening. I think that's very good progress. As for happening on the national level, we do have sort of a lack of quality queer media in Canada as a general landscape issue. Like there's pockets here and there of goodness, but yeah. overall it's not like it was in the 90s. Because in the 90s, like Pink Triangle Press was a pretty good journalistic setup. I mean, pretty good considering its budget, because they had a lot of budgetary constraints.
Yeah, well, print media was much more
yeah.
involved in the 90s.
So I think I like to hope... I have looked at the Stats Canada data, and even Stats Canada, they say it's hard to say exactly what's going on because you've got reporting issues, you've got, you know, when they're doing a census, are people answering honestly? Are they happening to send the long form just to everybody where nothing happened to them that year? Mm. There's all sorts of, like, sampling issues and whatnot, but it does look like homophobic and transphobic crime in general is going down pretty quickly in Canada, but reporting is shooting up. So on the rarer and rarer occasion when stuff happens, people are way more comfortable reporting it. And when it does get reported, it's more likely to generate, an arrest or a court trial or something. At least, like, I am aware that it's probably a lot more complicated than that.
See, I disagree with you. I think hate crimes are massively underreported.
They are underreported, but I also think they're more reported than they ever have been.
Mm. Okay. So the amount of people willing to report has gone up, but the volume has also, matched.
Well, it also depends, because things like if you're in an office and there's somebody there who just under their breath calls you a bad name every day, but otherwise they don't do anything to you.
I mean, that's a toxic workplace.
That's, well, yeah. And, well, it's also technically not a crime. It would be a hate incident, and that's a different category. But, like, there's certain things...
Tell them to stop, it's harassment.
That's true, yeah. But it's... There are a lot of people, because I've been through this sort of situation where you're looking at what you would have to go through. Like, you could file a police report, but that would drag it out, and you just want it to be done and over with. You're never going to see them again. They're a classmate, they're a coworker, they're a whatever. As of next Friday, you're graduating, you're quitting, you're transferring, you're never going to see them again in your life. You want it out. Mm. You just want to be gone, and you don't want to have to deal with it anymore. So why bother filling the paperwork? And I know that that is a huge problem that they've had whenever they study underreporting of hate crime. The number of people who are like, you know what? It happened. It's over. I didn't break a bone. I just want to move on with my life and never think about it ever again. So that
raises the question of accountability. You know what I mean? Like in Canada, when we're looking at these cases, you know, Moose Jaw, Aurelia, Calgary, and many other places... Mm-hmm. These incidents spark a debate in those communities. You know what I mean? Like, we're now having the conversation about, when we should and should not report.
Yeah.
And I think that for all of our listening audience, I think if the big takeaway from this is, you know, it's horrific that these hate incidents happen.
Yeah.
But now maybe we are more aware that they can happen in these small towns and small communities.
Well, actually, I spoke with some police officers about this about 3 or 4 years ago, about situations like this. And something that was very strongly emphasized to me, and this kind of exposed the fact that I and most people don't have a healthy understanding of the Canadian legal system, it is possible to file a report without pressing charges. To say, this incident happened, but I'm not going to press charges because I don't want to go through with it.
Mm-hmm.
And... to file a report without pressing charges, they don't necessarily need to gather evidence because they're just putting it on paper. So that if anything else happens, if somebody else files a report against that individual for some kind of homophobic harassment or something, they can call on you as a sort of a witness if it does go to trial. So this kind of thing of like, if you want it out of your life and not deal with it because you're not sure if anything's going to come of it, there was nobody nearby with a camera on you, so there's no particular evidence... There are ways of getting around that and saying, you know, I don't want to have to deal with this anymore, but I'll just file the paperwork that takes half an hour, leave it, don't press charges, and then if something else happens, then they can call me at home and say,
One of the benefits of LGBT liaisons with police departments, when said liaisons...
Do their job well.
Are LGBT identified, and I'm going to emphasize that. I reached out to the LGBT liaison for the Vancouver Police Service... And we were passed over to the media department, who failed to respond to us in time for this week's show.
Mm-hmm.
But we did reach out to both the liaison and the media department and did not get a response to our questions about the hate crime preacher. And a part of one of my questions I asked the Vancouver Police Department is, what impact do these incidents have where the police, as we mentioned earlier, you know, are forced into protecting the smaller group? You know, you know what I mean? What impact does that have on the relationship with the community? And I bring this up because when we're looking at Hamilton, and a lot of other cities have these LGBT liaisons, you know, when I'm wondering whether or not I should report, I may not be out. You know, I may not be out to my entire family. I may not be out in my workplace. I may be trans and have transitioned a long time ago. But, you know, do I really want to drag that up because somebody was transphobic to me and potentially out myself to everyone involved? Having the police who have that sort of cultural competency to understand some of these things. Like when I was involved with the Ottawa Police Service before, there were a string of, men getting intimate in public washrooms.
Yeah.
And they were very often straight identified public servants.
Yeah.
You know, they're just in the office for 8 hours a day, steam gets a bit high, and, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But without understanding, you know, some of the context of why people were there, what motivated them, you know, a response based on the assumption they're all happily out gay men would have gone badly. It's not the reality. So having cultural competency within the police department to understand LGBT issues and LGBT perspectives and why people may or may not report, I think is vital when incidents like this happen, because then the police can respond, you know, in a much more intuitive way with much more understanding and compassion, which is, you know, vital.
Yeah, yeah. Well, also, like I've seen officers who, because most officers will rotate between departments. It's a way of preventing corruption, because if you're in guns and gangs, you are a hot potato. Everybody wants to give you their money so that you can look the other way when they're doing stuff. So transferring frequently is a good thing. But you can see if somebody is in the general investigative pool and they used to be in something like partner assault, because they become a lot more sympathetic to the person who was victimized or assaulted, if you don't want to use the language of victimization. And they're aware of some of the nuances in somebody's life that may make them uncomfortable with reporting, even though they have the full right to do so. You know, things like, if I report this, then my parent, who is a witness who did nothing, will be, you know, that they'll be, what's the word, where they're an accessory? No, that'd be if it's murder. But anyway, they're involved in some way because they didn't report this incident happening. Mm. They didn't intervene. So, you know, somebody who you don't want to go to prison might go to prison because they didn't participate and they didn't do anything. They didn't report it. So you don't want fallout to happen.
Yeah.
Basically. And people who've been through the partner assault section are a lot more familiar with the weird nuances of people who know they have the right to report but don't want to for various reasons. And a lot of them, when they come across incidents like, you know, somebody's in the closet and they are assaulted, they may, even if they don't understand that context in specific, they may understand that there is such a thing as a context that makes you unwilling. And ideally they would show up at the scene with the training to know what those contexts might be, so they know what questions to ask. Like,
and that returns to one of the issues with the Hamilton Police and many others.
Yeah.
Is training in advance so that when incidents such as these occur, you know, be it Moose Jaw or Orillia, that those officers responding are much better prepared to react. Now, we have run out of time. We're playing out with Mika and Soprano with Le Cure Holiday. Which is the heart holiday.
Le cœur holiday,
yeah.
Holiday, not vacances, but holiday.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, it was an odd decision, but we do love Mika. This is Mika and Soprano, and we will be back next week. I've been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
Voici rivière, sous mes yeux, mes prières, à ses dieux. J'ai pas vu d'hiver, d'hiver aussi froid. Jamais l'enfer
de ses pas. Allez, bouge ton corps à la gauche et à la droite. Allez, on se tord, on n'est pas des automates. Allez, viens danser, danser coûte que coûte. On n'a pas besoin de doute. Allez, secoue-toi, reste pas là dans ton lit. Qu'est-ce que tu racontes, tout ça tu l'as déjà dit. Mais n'importe quoi, n'importe quelle chanson.
Allez, mon poisson, y'a trop de choses dans nos têtes. De nuit sans conseil. Gardez le cœur en faible, le cœur à l'été. On est bien n'importe où, c'est ça le soleil. Garde le cœur debout, le cœur à l'été. Et quand tu t'en vas à genoux, garde le cœur en fête. Garde le cœur debout, garde le cœur à l'été. Et si la vie te rend fou, même sans le soleil. Y'a trop de choses dans nos têtes, de nuit sans conseil. Garde le cœur en faible, le cœur holiday. On est bien n'importe où, c'est ça le soleil. Garde le cœur debout, le cœur holiday. Et quand tu t'en vas genoux, garde le cœur en fête. Garde le cœur debout, garde le cœur holiday. Et si la vie te rend fou, même sans le soleil, garde le cœur debout, garde le cœur en idée. Avec toi n'importe où, Miami ou Marseille. Garde le cœur debout, le cœur en idée. Avec toi n'importe où, Miami ou Marseille. Garde le cœur debout, le cœur en idée. Et quand tu t'en vas genoux, garde le cœur en fête. Garde le cœur debout, garde le cœur en idée. Et si la vie te rend fou, même sans le soleil.